Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these blues, it happens every night.
Very old night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
The summer heat never treats me kind.
It leaves trouble on my mind.
So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
This highway
does not know my name. Care.
Nope.
No,
don't.
Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires.
Right to the hook, right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget. Live, the not-so-live variety from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for Monday, April the 22nd. You bunch of dang lowlifers. Appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. And if you're thinking that you just got called a lowlifer and that's an insult, well, you're wrong. You're wrong about so many things. But mainly that being a lowlifer is a bad thing. That is what the listeners of this program refer to themselves as. And it's a term of endearment around these parts, man. You wear that lowlifer badge, it's a great thing. I was at the Bridgestone Arena watching old Timmy T. Tyler Childers and ran into some lowlifers. Ran into some lowlifers there in downtown Nashville. So I appreciate y'all. I didn't get y'all's names. Y'all said every one of them I ran into was like, I'm a lowlifer. Thank you, man. Thank you. It was chaotic in there, but I appreciate that. It makes me look cool in front of my 16-year-old that does not think I'm cool. Actually, he just rolls his eyes and goes, it's so weird that people care anything about what you say or do, Dad. But we had a good night watching Tyler Childers. It was nice meeting some of y'all out there in good old Nashville. Hope you're doing well out there. Man, I've had a crazy busy week with some Southern boating supply action. Things are really, really starting to take shape more and more day in and day out. We're making a big move right now. We leased a building from a guy in it's just been to say the least. But we have been able to find something really to our liking, even better. And it's kind of crazy how life works out. It's actually a building that we wanted to be in when all this came together back in December, early January, and it had just been sold, and we couldn't get it. And lo and behold, the new owners put it up for lease in the last couple of weeks. I was able to knock that down. So we're going to be doing some videos from the new Southern Boating Supply very soon and just showing y'all what all we got going on, man. So appreciate the kind words. Make sure you're following Southern Boating Supply on social media, all social media channels. Look, we got these new hats. We got a lot of things coming very soon. New parts. Goodness gracious, we're working on a lot of things. So appreciate each and every one of you. We getting in the crawl of a lot of people, man. I have so many people that I consider dear friends that are in the marine industry that work for former employers of mine that, man, they're not doing well with the whole Southern Boating Supply thing. They'll tell you they are, but behind the scenes, they are really trying to keep a good man down. I will be honest, but we will not be deterred by corporate America. That is for sure. For sure. We're having fun. We're having fun. It's going to be a lot more fun on the road seeing customers this week. So if you see me somewhere out there along the dusty trail, I'll be in Mississippi. I'll be in the Carolinas this week, all over the place. Say hey. Say hey to this lowlifer if you see me out there, out and about. Something really, really special that happened this week, this past weekend in my life. I talked about it on here a little bit, but cops and bobbers. So an old buddy of mine, old friend here in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, Chad Dorning, he's a school resource officer, SRO, out there protecting our kids. We have several in our county here. They're fantastic. All the elementary schools, the middle schools, and the high schools. And Chad came to me about this last year and said, man, what if we put together an event called Cops and Bobbers? I've always wanted to put together something to take kids fishing that maybe this might be their only chance to go fishing. Maybe they've been a couple times in their life, but it's something they don't get to do a lot, you know. Maybe we've got a chance to change a kid's stars. You love fishing. I love fishing. A lot of our officers love fishing, and let's see what we can do. So we started working on this deal, and Chad put together a committee. We all got together, and my part of this was just the fishing part, right? And my ties to the fishing industry. And I got to say, these folks right here, and I made videos this week, but I got to say this again. Eagle claw fishing, hooked on eagle claw. So you got to think back to when you were a kid, catch your first bluegill, catfish, whatever the case is. Most likely it was on an eagle claw hook. If you say it wasn't, you're probably lying. Those little white and red packs have been in stores longer than most of us have been here, right? And I reached out to Eric, my man Eric from Eagle Claw, and he went to work for me on this event, and we were able to provide 30 rods and reels thanks to the folks at Eagle Claw. Every child got a tackle box, and these kids range from 8 to 14 years old. But every kid got a tackle box. They left with a tackle box. They left with a full belly. They got all kinds of food, snacks. Super cool event. A friend of mine, the Harris family, Mike and Alana Harris, their son, my man Boomer. Y'all heard me talk about Boomer on videos, my man Boomer. But they've got a cool little lake. I've fished my whole life. It's created so many memories for me and my family over the years. Me first, and then my kids. We've got so many memories on their awesome farm, and they've kind of, you know, they're like family to us. And so we watched as these kids unload out of a bus yesterday. I'm recording this on Sunday. Super fired up, man. Super fired up. Some of them brought their own gear, though. I will say that. We had a couple young men that I spent some time talking to, teenagers, that they brought their own gear, man. They were wanting to do some bass fishing, and it did so much for me just watching that, because I remember that kid sitting here staring at this camera right now. But I probably had more opportunities than these kids do in life. Some of them have some bad situations they come from. Some of them, you know, they're just trying to get through every single day, right? And I got to spend time with these kids, and we got to take them fishing off the bank. And, man, we had Eagle Claw sent us hooks and bobbers, you know, and we had a couple local tackle stores. We had red wigglers. We had some shiners. We were going to do whatever it took to get these kids bit. And so we all paired off, and I got my two boys, Hudson and Ryder, came, and then Charlie and Wes came. So I had all four of the boys there at different times kind of helping with this, and they had stuff going on a busy Saturday morning. But they all showed up to help with these kids, make sure these kids had a great time, because my kids are very blessed. We are very blessed in the Duncan household. Very grateful for this life we've been given, and everything that we work for, and you know, to be involved with an event like this is very special, right? So I got to see these boys, man. I saw them light up ear to ear when some of these kids were catching their first fish. But I get paired up with two young ladies, one of which is in the sixth grade, one of which is in the seventh grade, Serenity and Graceland. And my girl Graceland, she tells me she's caught bass before. She said she used to live in Georgia and family had moved to Tennessee. And she hadn't fished in a while. Used to fish with some family members. She's not around very much anymore. She told me she used to fish. And listen, she could cast. Both ladies could cast. Once I gave them a little quick tutorial, you know, they were back in action. They hadn't fished in a while. And caught some bluegill. They caught a few bluegill and a bobber and a red worm. Well, we brought a little extra rod with us, one of those eagle claws. We slipped over. I fished this little lake a lot in my life. And so, man, it was getting crowded and we weren't getting many bites. I said, come on, y'all. And they said they wanted to move spots. And I said, well, y'all willing to walk a little bit? We'll go to where they're at. So we take off on a walkabout, me and the boys and Graceland Serenity. And we get to this stretch, man, and I find this big brim bed. And they catch some big old hand-sized bluegill, just them fat ones that you like to catch. And then I wasn't able to bring any minnows. I really wanted them to catch bass. And, man, it's, you know, trying to artificial fish with maybe people that haven't been bass fishing a lot. It's, you know, it can be difficult. But we had no way to get the minnows on the other side of the lake where we were going. So I told Hudson and Ryder, I was like, grab one of them Eagle Claw drop shot hooks out of the boat and grab a damn trick worm. And, dude, we went to whacking them bass on a wacky worm. And Graceland and Serenity both caught bass. And Graceland ended up losing like a 2.5-3 pounder. She blamed me for it because I got caught up in the reeds. And dude, I'm all but out there waiting in the water. And there's some reeds around the bank, you know. Anyways, just awesome. And they catch 6 or 8 bass. And she said, Graceland, it was so funny. She's in the sixth grade. She kept saying, that fake worm is better than those real worms. She just kept saying that because I'd like bait up another bobber up, you know, on an eagle claw, fire it out there. No. I want that big, the fake worm. It's big. I think they like it because it's bigger. I think they like it. And she's like going through the worms. She would not touch a live worm when we first started. By the end of the day, she's over there. She's baiting her own hook. She also told me she'd never touched a fish. I had these ladies lipping bass like a dang pro before it was over. It was so awesome, man, that they were willing to open their minds up a little bit to do that. But the coolest thing is they fed these kids big spread, man. And Serenity wanted to go back and have lunch. And Graceland, I said, well, it's time for lunch. We need to make our way back over there. And she said, the fish are biting. I don't want to stop until they make us get on the bus to go back home. And I said, you know what, girl? I'll sit here till the cows come home. Let's do this. And so we sat there, man, and caught a few more, and they finally, it was time, it was winding down, and the awesome lady that puts, it's called Camp Thrive, and they go on outings once a month, and the awesome folks from Camp Thrive, shout out to Miss Nikki, Miss Nicole, she yells out, hey, we got 10 more minutes, and man, the wind was just ripping, and I laid a daggum wacky worm. I'd cast it. She was casting it herself, and she caught a couple like that. But there's one spot I kept saying, you want me to get you over there by that stump? I bet there's a big one over there. And I kept telling her that. And she's like, well, I don't know. We don't want to get snagged up. And we only had one hook with us. And I said, come on, let me make one cast. We're fixing up to go. Man, I put it, there's like a stick up and a stump, and I could not have laid that thing. Got lucky in the wind, and that trick worm says bloop, and it lands right in there. And I watched the line say thunk, and I handed the rod and I said, I think you got one 4-pounder. Bah! Dude, it's thrashing. Everybody, we got a full audience on the other side of the lake watching, screaming for, and they're pretty good ways over there, you know, but you can tell it's big. It's thrashing around. It's jumping. She's screaming. I'm screaming. Everybody's screaming. My boys are hollering. And like Hudson said, he goes, Dad, you know, you've got a switch that you flip. When a big one gets hooked in the boat or around you, that your intensity always changes. And I can always tell when it's more serious, when it's in whether it's a tournament, whether we're just fun fishing, like I can always just watch you and tell, like, all right, I need to be paying more attention. Like when I've got one on or whatever. And he's like, I watched it. Dude, I'd have swam to the middle of the lake to get this fish in. And it wrapped her up in a log out in the lake about, and it was like a foot deep. And dude, I just went. And I had extra tough boots on, blue jeans, and I ended up boots full of water, blue jeans soaked, man. And I got in there and I snatched that sucker up like a damn eagle claw myself. Like I had them talons. Whoop, pulled that thing out, dude. She goes to squealing. So awesome, man. So awesome. But you can see a picture of her with that on my social media. She was shot a little video with her. She released it to swim to fight another day. And just too cool, man. Too freaking cool. But I say we on this show all the time, it's, you know, obviously we talk pro fishing and we talk a lot of things that are going on. And it's so damn important to take kids fishing. It is, whether they're yours, whether they're some, or in the outdoors period, turkey hunting, like listening to turkeys on the roost with my boys at daylight and they hop up out of bed at 4:30 in the morning. Man, that's something I will never, it's so fulfilling for me to look over and see them smile at daylight in the woods, you know, and to know that some of these kids might not have that opportunity very much. And so many of y'all that listen to the show, you're fortunate enough to get to do that with your kids. But man, it's really opened my eyes. If you see a kid that you think might want to go fishing and you can find a way to get them there, get them there. It don't matter if it's a red and white eagle claw bobber sitting on the bank of a dang creek somewhere. Get them out there, man. It you might change somebody's life. And I don't know that we did that yesterday. I don't know at all, but it was a really special day. And to see my kids respond to it and understand that, you know, we got it lucky, but this is an amazing gift that we have to share with people that don't know anything about our world necessarily. So I don't know, man. It just took me back to being that kid that I would have gone, man. My granddad took me, I fished off the bank, because so much gets said, I think, on the show in the comments and whatnot about, you know, fishing or my love for fishing or different things, right? Because I do tend to give my opinion and facts hurt feelings a lot of times on here. And, man, all this did just start because of my love for fishing and sharing that love for fishing. And that's what this is about. A lot of times, man, I have a platform. I've been blessed to receive in life to not only like kind of pull the curtain back and let people know the realities of the pro level of fishing and tournament fishing, but man, just to spread the word, and has introduced me to companies like Eagle Claw, you know, my love for fishing and so many others from Express Boats. You know, goodness gracious, the list Baitworks, the list goes on and on. These people that believe in what I got going on, Pro Guide Batteries, and we'll get to them in a minute. But It's special, man. Fishing is so damn special. The outdoors is so damn special. You can't do that on the couch. You can't. You can't make up that feeling, that adrenaline, that dopamine rush you get when that bobber goes under. And I'm still that dude that wants to, our guest today will tell you that. I still want to catch them damn bluegill. I want to catch them catfish. I want to catch anything that swims. I love this. And I've said this many, many, many times, but if this all goes away tomorrow, man, I'm still going to be a redneck that goes bass fishing every single chance he gets, whether y'all know it or not, whether another lowlifer ever knows what I've got going on, I'm still going to do that. And I hope for years and years to come that cops and bobbers in Lawrence County, Tennessee, southern middle here, that we get to do that event. And all those kids left smiling ear to ear. We've heard so much great feedback. They want to do it again next year. And man, I just hope and pray we can do it again. So I guess I say that all that long-winded is if you get a damn chance to take a kid fishing, there's always been that big, big push in fishing to take a kid fishing. Don't take them tournament. You don't have to take them tournament fishing. You don't have to take them in your boat. Damn, man. Give them a rod and reel. Get them a thing of red worms. Go catch some fish. You never know when they might get bit by the bug and it might save their damn life. I know it did mine, man. I know it did mine. Ain't no telling where I'd have been if I'd have never had a rod and reel. I promise you that. I've got family members that have been in and out of jail, rehabs, addictive personalities. And I got one of them, man. I got an addictive personality. And I can promise you bass fishing saved me more days than it hasn't. And will continue to do so. Guaranteed. And passing that on to my kids, and I hope they pass it on to theirs and to their friends. And I don't know, man. We've got a great, there's a lot of negativity around this deal in the pro ranks, and you see all the negative comments, whether it's for or against, for or facing, and all that kind of stuff day in and day out. But man, fishing is beautiful. It's beautiful. So that's how we're going to open this dang show today. That and another beautiful thing, Rick Klein, 500th event, 500 bass tournaments, Rick Klein. And when I was 19 years old, I've probably told this story on the show before. I can't remember everything I say. I do one a week, right? I met Rick Klein at the Bassmaster Classic. I was about 19. And I'd actually had him autograph a hat. I need to bring that hat up here, actually, show that on the show one day. I got a Zoom Bait Company hat I had signed when I was about 13 years old at a tournament, top 100 down at Pickwick. It's got all these guys, a lot of which I'm friends with to this day, but they signed it when I was a kid. Very cool. But Rick Klein was one of those, and I was like nervous as a cat on a tin roof getting him to sign it. But I actually got to meet him when I was 19 years old, and I had just signed up for the Opens. And I was going to fish that fall. And it was the first year the Opens were going to be in the fall. And this was the Bassmaster Classic. It was in Birmingham. It was one Jay Yellis won in the summertime. And Lay Lake Classic. And I got to, the weigh-in had started on like day one or day two. And I didn't go to the weigh-in. I had a couple of sponsors I was down there standing in the booth working for. And thought that was a big deal. And the show really slowed down as it can when the weigh-in started. And I looked over there, and there's freaking Rick Klein leaned up against a Nitro bass boat in the Bass Pro Shops booth. And I just walked over there. Mr. Klein, Luke Duncan. And I've always had this thing. I'm going to tell you everything about me I can pretty quick, you know, get one shot in life. and for better or worse. And I just laid it all on him, you know. I'm Luke Duncan, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm going to fish, and fish in the Opens. And there were no kids, man. Like I've said, no high school fishing, no college fishing. I was just one of the only young ones around the industry at that time. There might have been three or four of us, but tops. And Rick was like, oh, that's great. And he was so kind, but I'll never forget what he said to me. And it was so true, because I was just rambling, man. And thinking back on it now, which I still do. And he said, he put his hands on my shoulders. And Rick always had like this aura around him, you know, kind of like Rick James in that Dave Chappelle skit. Oh, this aura. And he says, Luke, you've got a lot of nervous energy. You need to harness that. And when you do, you will be unstoppable. And I don't even, still to this day, don't even know what it meant. It was freaking awesome. But you hear so many things like that from rookies. And I think about his cool relationship with like Cody Huff, you know, who was on the front edge of the LiveScope stuff. And Rick very much respects and appreciates the younger generation. And he's tried to be that mentor so many times over the years, be this damn legend. Still doing it though, man, on Bassmaster Live, just out there catching them. And then I read a quote from him this week that he wants to win an event with forward facing sonar. And I think that is so cool to me. While all the pissing and moaning's going on, the guy that has nothing to prove other than to himself, I guess, because he's uber competitive, is he wants to not bitch about it. He wants to win with it and get better with it. And I think that was a pretty cool statement. Regardless where your stance is on any of it, and God knows, so many people in the comments all the time are on that program. I saw a clip of Corey Johnson, who looks like he's going to blow away the Elite Series as I record this morning. So congrats to Corey on that. Flipping lily pads this morning, and people are just steady complaining. It's something out there. It is something out there. But huge congrats to Rick Klein on just absolutely getting it done in a 500th event. Incredible. All right, let's thank some sponsors real fast, and then we're going to jump to our guest. We got a fun one today. I really believe I fished with this dude this week, and we had a great time. And I said, let's do a show. I think it's very pertinent. He has some things he can share with us story-wise, and I just think there's a lot going on, and we'll get into it with him, but there's a lot going on that I think he has a really cool perspective on. He's a very intelligent individual, and he's a great bass fisherman, and yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. Gilfishing.com, gilfishing.com, gilfishing.com. That is where you can use code LBLGIFT, LBLGIFT. Once you spend $100, they're going to send you a gift. They're going to send you a free gift. It's a Voyager backpack right now. Voyager backpack, waterproof, very cool. LBL gift. And it's not hard to spend $100 on there. They got some good stuff now. Get you a Fitzroy jacket. Get you some shorts. Get you a sun shirt. Get you some sun gloves. Gilfishing.com is where it goes down. LBL gift. ProGuide batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com. You can use code LBL10 there to save on some of the best lithium and all-around batteries in the game. Their AGMs are fantastic as well. They've got their new chargers that they just released that are slick as they come. Trust me on that. They've got a 5-bank that is absolutely dirty. Get on there. ProGuideBatteries.com. LBL10 is going to save you some cash. Let them know you are a low lifer, and we appreciate them offering that opportunity to the low lifers and believing in low budget live. Bait-works.com, bait-wrx.com. That is the official online home of the LOB jig. And if you're not throwing this, if you don't have some of these in your tackle box and you like jig fishing, I'm not just saying this because I designed it, but shame on you, because this sucker right here gets bit, whether they're spawning, pre-spawn, post-spawn, sight fishing. Like, this little jig is killer. That new rooster color is awesome. But Baitworks has an incredible online tackle selection. Get on there. Get you some mag drafts. It's mag draft season. Get on there and check out some of the glide baits they have. An extensive collection of rods and reels, soft plastics. They've got it going on, bait-wrx.com. And Duncan-10, D-U-N-K-I-N-10 for the win, saves you money. And last but not least, hang the freaking banner. The imaginary banner right here over my shoulder. Express Boats Hot Springs, Arkansas. They've got those bad to the bone aluminum bass boats like the X21 that I'm running, but they've got the new H20 ready for a 175, the hyperlift hull, more storage than you can shake a stick at. It is a bad, bad to the bone rig that does not break the bank. Go check it out, the new H20. It's on their website. I'm sure it will be at dealers soon. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. All right, our guest today is one of two Lees that have made it to the levels of professional bass fishing from the same household. Incredible. Incredible. Can you imagine being Dr. Lee, old Doc Lee, and Lee Lee, and you got two boys that make it to the epicenter of what they want to make it to in life, which was professional bass fishing. Incredible. Spent a great day in the boat with this dude this week. He's always been one of my favorite guys in the industry. Very funny, very intelligent, great bass fisherman. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Lee. All right, as promised, here he is. This is the bluegill god of the century. He's here to announce he's leaving the Bass Pro Tour to start bluegill fishing exclusively, because I've been an inspiration. Matt Lee, everybody.
God, it's an honor to be here. I didn't know that very few people have, you know, you take kids fishing, they see a turtle on the bank. They're like, oh, turtle. They see a duck, you know, fly, you know, maybe you get a real serious duck hunter in the boat. He's like, man, look at them green heads. You know, I'm not a big duck hunter. You get Luke Duncan in the boat. When them sunfish are starting to pull up to spawn, you think you took him to El Salto, like in the prime of the spring. I mean, this man, I've never seen a bass fisherman, especially serious bass fisherman, get like 3-pounder on the bed, messed with it. Finally, it just like would not cooperate. And then you found some PB. Pumpkin seed. I'm not an expert on the deer
swim. Red ear, shell cracker.
Okay. Are those all the same thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, your regular copper nose bluegill and all the sunfish, like, no, red ear. They're like if you went to Iowa and you're killing world class whitetails. Okay. The red ear are the trophies of the bluegill sunfish family, but they get a lot bigger. And, and they're smarter. They're not up there as much. So, dudes, what we saw, what we experienced together with our friend Todd Hammond was really special. And you did not, you weren't near as excited as me, but my granddad, shout out, God bless Daddy Richard, rest in peace, was the shellcracker king in my life. And he was rolling over in his grave that you were not excited. I'm sure he was feeling that.
Yeah. Quick story to fill everybody in is like Luke Todd Hammond. He is a good old boy, but pretty jacked. You just tell, like, separate from him knowing jiu-jitsu, like you wouldn't want to mess. He's a big dude. And we're going to Smith and like they're biting and they're going to meet me at the ramp. And great. I'm excited. Like you can catch fish doing whatever. And like bass, well, any kind of fish, I guess, get them in the boat. And usually at Smith, like you got the rat boat. You can't just be going running like right next to docks. Like people know who you are out there. So you got to take that, you know, as a professional angler, you've got to take that in consideration when you're being seen. And so we're, you know, I try to follow the rules and I don't do anything stupid. But I've never been hiding in a pocket on Smith, worried about people seeing me because we are pulled down fishing for bed and shellcracker. And this man,
I don't know why that's bad.
I mean, I just,
he wasn't shamed. Matt's not even being funny right now. He was like, oh, there comes a boat. Oh no. Oh no. He was covering up.
First place we threw and the depth's 250. This is the 9-inch swim bait. We had like a 30-pound stripe and some big spots try to eat it.
Yes.
The next place we went, we saw some legit pound and a half, 2-pound shellcracker on the bed, and immediately Luke Duncan, he's proud to admit, he forgot about that first spot we went to.
I should forget pretty quick.
Dialed in. He was ready to spend the night. Yes. And then what are the odds you find a floating bamboo pole that has a little bobber and a wax worm? So I don't even really know what a wax worm is.
I wish I had a picture one to pull up. I'm
gonna look a little, up right now. Okay, a little whatever. And I'm like, and yeah, I really messed up then because I was like,
you could call hook on it. It was like, it was sent from above, dude.
Anyway, we are going to talk the whole podcast about you brim fishing and nobody's going to listen to this.
Fine intervention. You don't have a crappie jig in the boat. See, I'm a multi-species angler. Okay. I mean, I always have crappie jigs at the ready in the summertime. I like to use live bluegill, which is legal before y'all comment. I like to use them and catch catfish, Matt. When it's hot in the dead of summer, me and my boys, we'll get out there in Carolina rig a live bluegill on a circle hook. We are not bashful in the Express at all. You have learned this about me now. But we did not have a hook. I did catch a big shellcracker on a shaky head. We were throwing in some bass that were swimming around. We go down the bank. There's a floating cane pole with a bobber, with a split shot, and an eagle claw hook. Matt gets into his magical box of Japanese whatchamacallits and pulls me out this little bitty thing. He colors it up chartreuse. He's trying to act like he wasn't involved in this, but he was hoping to get to see me succeed. I dropped over there and catch my PB shellcracker.
Yeah, once I realized we weren't going to run and gun on the lake for some big spots, like, I did pull out a $7 pack of MS crawl from Depths and cut the pinchers off one and put some chartreuse on it. And I was trying to help. Yeah, I just, both Todd and I feel like we gave in a little bit and we're just accepted.
Wax that,
yes, I got you.
Yeah, got like you. A maggot.
AKA maggot is what I was going to say. Yeah. From Alabama, we call it maggot.
Sawdust.
Most people, even rednecks I know, try to avoid them. But you collect them.
Buddy, a bluegill will smash on one of them, dude. My daddy, man. Richard, that was it right there. So,
man, anyways.
Podcast today.
Anyways, the podcast on wax worms.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in to Wax Worm Wednesdays.
Now we're back again. I'm spending more time talking about this.
Dude, I love it so much. Matt was like, I don't know anybody that gets this excited about bluegill. I was like, buddy.
Man.
I was, they were so big, man. There were so many giant ones swimming around. Well, we did have, Matt took us out. We had a great afternoon. And we caught a lot of bass. We caught a lot of spots. We ended up catching some bass. Just, just doing some old bank beating. We didn't get to run and gun like I think Matt's initial plan was, because I spent about 2 hours fishing the same pocket for blue.
It was entertaining though. I mean, it was
fun, good. Man.
It was fun.
It was a good time. But then I'm like, you know, I text Matt a couple of days later. It's like, we should do Low Budget Live, because we did have a great time. And as I said in the intro, Matt's one of these guys. He's super analytical, just intelligent, funny, charismatic. He's a fun guy to have a conversation with. And there's so many things going on in the sport right now. We talked about a lot of these things in the boat from, you know, we're growing the sport, right? We always say that. And now it seems like it's a problem to certain people. I think we've got some veteran pros that are kind of upset with this youth movement in fishing. And to me, you guys, and you guys being you and Jordan and some of the others from that kind of initial burst of college fishermen, y'all were the OG young guns, in my opinion, right? Like, we've always had young anglers come up through the sport randomly here and there. But you guys were on the forefront of this big push that has now led us to where we're at, I feel like. Do you feel the same way?
I think that it's really, you look at it, you get caught up in fishing tournaments. You get caught up in every year and what you have going on. But then at a certain point, you look back on, it is insane to look at the group. Like, so we had my brother and I, and then we had Dustin Connell fish at Alabama, and Logan Johnson, who's now fishing the Opens and just had a really good event, fished with him at Alabama. You look all over, Clint Davis, Braxton Setzer. So even the ones that weren't really connected, like Justin Lucas was doing announcing for college fishing for FLW and ended up marrying a girl that went to Auburn Montgomery that lived in Auburn. So he was around. Like, there is so many people from that area. Even the ABT, like we were talking, Paul Davis was at Auburn at the same time we were there. Like, it was just like a wave. And
wow.
I mean, you can go on and on. I mean, it's nuts the amount of anglers that came from that, you know, few years right there. And I've always said that I was really lucky. Like, it's easy to take for granted the time. Like, when I won the college national championship, like, I was the second guy ever, Upshaw the first, to fish the Classic. But what if I would have been 4 years older than I am? Like, dude, like, it's just one of those things that you just, it is what it is. But it was in an insane time. You don't even realize you're really a part of that. You don't even know that you're going to be relevant. You know, like, I thought I was going to get a normal job and try to, you know, qualify and do all those things. So yes, to answer your question, looking back on it, it was like you were in that wave, and then you know that, like, there'll be probably another wave. There's some guys that make it and come up, and then it has a couple like slow years. You see the transition changes in fishing, and then it kind of, but then you see these young guns coming again. It's like I went with Trey Swindle to Santee, mm-hmm. and so he was filling me in on guys that are fishing the Opens and these names, because it's honestly hard to keep up. Like, the ones that are in college, the ones that are in the Opens, the ones that are fishing the pro circuit that come up.
Well, yeah, how many? Yeah, like, there's so going on.
Yes, like, it's hard to even keep up. Like, even you got the pros that have kids that are now Britt Myers, Marshall, every one of them, Randy Howe, like, they all got kids that are fishing. It's nuts. It's hard to keep up. And there is a bunch of them that are, dude, I mean, they're new to it. They've the like everybody talks about the speed of how fast you can learn now with technology. You can just catch up, and it's insane to see and to be a part of. I mean, whether you fish MLF bass, anything you fish, you see it. And I mean, I was even at church this morning, and a guy was asking me about, after church, was asking me about the forward facing and where I see it going in the future, because he's one of those older.
You did a podcast this morning in the church parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, half of one. Yeah. But it's nuts to see. Yeah, and
where will it head though? Do you think with the college fishing? I mean, you know, I said when MPFL came out, because there were some industry folks that were like, well, we don't have room for another tournament trail. But in my opinion, one of the reasons I joined them, I was like, yeah, we do. Because what we are doing between high school fishing and college fishing is you were creating a lot of tournament fishing junkies that do want to succeed on to the next level. And between BPT and the elites and the Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit, there are only so many spots for them, ultimately, right? To try to earn a decent paycheck, to be able to promote sponsors and that kind of thing. So I don't think it's bad to have a lot more avenues out there for them. But where do we, I mean, with electronics combined, the price of everything is going up. Are we headed to a boom or a bust in youth fishing, Matt Lee? Do you think? Are we excluding some folks?
I think it's really hard to say that it's going to be a bust. I mean, because there's always, so even when I made it, you still had guys about my age that fished and had some success, but really struggled and had to get out of fishing. I mean, I guess it wasn't as much on the internet, but you've seen people from every age that just didn't. It's easy to forget the people that like struggle and then get out of fishing, and everybody always remembers the ones, the new names that are coming in that are hot, that are going to be around. And so there's always been a level of like, there's always been people that just don't get a spot. And like, I was so like, for me and my brother, everybody knows how good he is. Like, I had the best platform ever. And that was really the reason that I'm even around today, is because that avenue that I had through the college fishing and the support that I had from like Carhartt starting out was just so crucial. But I think in the future, like you talked about more trails, like it's a 1-2 punch, right? Because everybody complains about saturation if you're a professional angler, in that there's only so many endemics. The sport hasn't grown enough to bring in a ton of non-endemics. And the more anglers, then by theory, you're splitting that money up into a lot more pots.
Yep.
Yes. But I don't know, you know, to have more tournaments, like majority of tournament trails, you fish for your own money anyways, right? Whether you're fishing a Sunday Wildcat or you're fishing Bass Pro Tour now, I mean, it doesn't matter what level you're at, you're fishing for your own money. So why you choose to fish somewhere is because of the platform they have to kind of, you think is best for you to promote your brand. And then like, it's easy to get caught up in just the bass fishing part. Like how many kayak anglers, you know, I say anglers, people that fish out of a kayak, salt, fresh, wherever in North America, make more money than I do by just, maybe they fish tournaments, but just because they have that big of a following, you know, I don't know. So they're like, it is changing, and it's in a weird time. You know, obviously you have new social channels that come up, but also you just have, there's a lot of differences. I mean, a guy that just does influencing, if he's smart enough about it, I mean, he can really use that to make more money than you could fishing tournaments. But for a lot of people, they'd rather fish tournaments and make less money and just be able to fish tournaments.
Depends on how you're tuned, right? Like it's that competitive nature that kind of gets you into the tournaments, but we are seeing this huge boom with influencers. And look, I've looked at it like this several times since leaving tournament fishing. Like, man, do you know how many really cool fishing trips I can go on for the amount of money I spend on entry fees and travel to go whenever an FLW or a Bassmaster Open or whoever says, hey, look, these are the dates that we have to show up and fish regardless. And I can kind of plan a trip at the best times at the best lakes and go have a great time myself, film it for YouTube or not, whatever the case is. I've looked at that so many times because you've spent so much money competing. And where I'm at age-wise now, I'm like, I'm not as like starved to compete. Like I just want to go fishing. Just like the bluegill story we told, like, dude, I enjoy that way more than I would practicing 3 days for an open. Like that 3 hours with you messing around with that was more enjoyable for me right now where I'm at than if I'd have been at Grand Lake going, well, I hope they're on these brush piles and idling for hours. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's where I'm at right now. So I don't blame someone for trying to do the influencer thing and not. And I think for so long, professional anglers, and you know this, and I was one of them that have said these things before. Like, it used to get on my nerves thinking that somebody could make it through YouTube. Like, what? Like, we're damn pros. We're out here promoting, and we're the guys. We're legitimate. You know, man, I'm glad all the lines have been blurred now. And I think, you know, guys like Milliken being in the elites is a good thing. I really do think that, because it does kind of, it's a mashup of all of it that even my fat mouth on this show said, that'll never happen. I said it, dude. There are a lot of great anglers over there on the YouTube side.
I mean, I could go a lot of different. Yeah, I think with Ben Milliken, the deal that he's done is awesome. I mean, there's just so many, man. There's so many good anglers. Going full circle back to the original point, I think there's endless amount of tournaments to be had. Everybody's coverage is going to be different on it, but it And then as far as like the forward facing sonar and all that, I think it'll, like, we already saw in 5 years, where is kayak fishing gone and how big are those deals? Those tournaments are huge all over the place, huge avenue for people that don't have a boat. So I feel like you kind of meet in the middle, like everybody goes out with 150s and doesn't have any sonar on their boat, or they do, they just don't have forward sonar. Or, you know, I think the tournament scene will only grow. So it's just, it's like, I was in that middle ground. Like, I'm not biffle old school, but I was, you know, the pros, if you wanted to watch fishing, you had to turn on TV on the weekends, see in a magazine, go to the events, and they came to Gunnersville. That's what got us started fishing. I mean, that's the only way you could really watch it. And to see, people have a problem with people that are make a living by posting videos online and they don't actually fish tournaments, because it used to be you had to. I mean, the only reason you knew who Mark Tucker was because he caught him in Gunnersville on ESPN Bassmasters. It's not because he just said some drama on the internet. You know, he had to catch him in that deal for him to make a name for himself. And now if you just have a, it's just a, you know, it's just a changing world we're in. No doubt. It's hard to predict the future, but.
I even get weird about it, you know, doing a, I mean, and this show is low budget, but doing a Purdue show, and now you do have the guys out there, whether it's in fishing or not, that just get these buzzworthy clips where they give a minute opinion, right? Sitting in the front seat of your truck, you see it across all things. And so for me, I'm like, damn, I worked hard to try to do an hour and a half show and edited, and you do these things, and then you see the views that kind of stuff does get, and you're like, oh, well, maybe I tried too hard for all these years.
It brings me to something that it just, I don't know why. It's Adele Hollow, we had a house that was over the water that was way up high. You know, you don't have any boat docks on Adele Hollow, so you're on top of a mountain looking down on the lake, and for some reason that
fish.
There wasn't a lot of boat docks there. You know, no flipping boat docks.
I feel like I'll make that joke because it's getting made in the comments when this airs. That's this section.
No, zero boat docks. I don't know. You know, there's marinas, but no. Anyways, there's these floaters, which is weird. The water's coming up a little bit, but there was some. For it, it's not like a scenario where you think there would be giant floaters. But every day morning you take off and there's some big ones. Anyways, from our house, you could see one down there that was like monster cypress. And Jesse and I are just talking on the back porch, killing time on our day off. And I'm like, look, there's what did he say? Jesse's the best at coming up with names for stuff that don't like not real names, but just made up names. But instead of Nessie, the Loch Ness monster, it was Desi, his cousin or something. And so I did a Snapchat video, like I just recorded it, that said Loch Ness monster on Adele Hollow. And I recorded it and I was like, no, this would blow. I could not make myself.
Dude,
I wanted so bad to put on Instagram and you put the title at the top, Loch Ness Monster, Del Hollow.
Just there go the likes.
And make sure and do a hashtag Southern Boating Supply at the bottom. Yeah, get those numbers right. up.
Get those numbers up.
Get those numbers up, son.
Even if they're fake, they're not real numbers. And I say this because I had a video the day the Watson stuff came out. Dude, it's at like 2 million views on Facebook. It's at however many hundreds of thousands on Instagram. And it was my kid fishing the boat dock. He's like, don't you fish that boat dock, being stupid. Dude, this morning I got a comment from a guy that was like, suspended from what? Why does fishing boat docks? Why is it illegal? Like, there are thousands of people thought that I just meant that you couldn't fish boat docks, but it got in whatever algorithm.
Yeah.
Facebook shared, Mark Zuckerberg was like, here you go, dummies, comment on this. But those numbers, when I say they're fake, they mean nothing to me. You know what I mean? Ultimately.
Yeah.
You get paid for views on Facebook and that kind of thing, I guess. But at the end of the day, like, it's all like artificial because it wasn't the audience that truly, like, I'm making a joke to bass tournament fishermen that get the joke, right?
Yeah.
Outside of that and became something else, and you go, well, okay. Like,
yeah, we can go off on a tangent, but I really feel like if I would have done that, there is a chance that on Wikipedia's Loch Ness Monster page, my post could have came up in the creds at the bottom, like as an addition, because there has been a sighting, possible sighting on Del Hollow of one. You know,
that's real life?
No, it's not real life, but it could have been. But then I would have gotten this comment. There would have been some people that really thought I saw the Loch Ness Monster down there when it was a cypress tree.
No, I'm saying is there like folklore around Del Hollow that there's, because I know at Champlain there's one.
No, I know that okay. Which I did think I might have seen the one at Champlain. That's a different story. But
hey, y'all.
Now you don't even know if there is one at Del Hollow or not. See, we're just adding to the problem. But if I would have posted that video, I was like, this is so made up and such a joke, but I know it'll get views, and I just didn't post it. I was like, Jesse, you can post it if you want to. I just can't. I want to be funny, but it was going to be funny clickbait, as in that obvious, but a lot of people wouldn't have known. It's just, I get it.
And most of the time, though, Matt, you know me well enough that when I have those internal conversations myself, I just send it. I just posted it.
I should have sent it. I don't know why I didn't send it. I think it's because I about caught the gas grill on fire. That's why I didn't really send it. That's a different story, too. But
I made a meme video of Hank Williams Jr. It was from an interview I was watching, and I grabbed the video, and it was him saying, you know, I could forget the exact quote, but he says, I could just go to the mailbox, get my checks, and hunt and fish every day. And I was like, me when I find out I have like a wealthy dad or something like Peter.
Yeah.
He got a million views on Facebook because people are like, screw you, Hank. Your daddy was better. And then there were people that were like, Hank's better. And they fought for weeks, bro. And they thought they were commenting to Hank Williams Jr. And the page clearly said, Luke Stupid Fishing Duncan. And people were just like, ah.
Like, whatever. If you can use that to make you actually like monetize millions of dollars, hats off to y'all.
We're not
anybody. Yeah,
we're not around here at the Duncan household, traveling circus headquarters. That's not happening.
Well, hey, some people do though. I mean,
for sure. Yeah, whatever. I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying it is kind of bizarre because a lot of my friends that are in the music industry view. It's a very similar thing, like, and it makes me think of the YouTube versus pro fisherman debate that was so big for so long. I feel like they're the same way when they're out there grinding and playing shows for 15 years to try to get, and then some old boy on TikTok sings a song, and then all of a sudden he sells out an arena 2 weeks later. They're like, wait a second, you skipped steps, right? Like there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that that goes on.
If you're that guy that's been grinding for 15 years to try to get there, you can't really blame him for being upset, but then at the same time, is it that kid's fault that he posted on TikTok and knew how to use it and get to go viral? I mean,
the kid on TikTok though, and there's a lot of calculated things on social media, but I think sometimes the sincere viral, like the Oliver Anthony cat, right? The redheaded dude, the fudge round song that blew up, that guy, it's about more than fudge rounds. Don't at me.
It is.
Yeah, well, I think.
What else is it about?
Oh, working all day. That guy. Now he's selling out arenas, dude. He's got like he's got an album, and yeah. And I hear the album's not bad. I've not listened to it, but I hear it's not bad. But my thing is, I think that was truly sincere, honest. I don't know. Like, I don't think
I've watched a couple of interviews with him, and I think, yeah, it for sure was. And yeah, I, dude, hats off to him because
no doubt.
It yeah, just, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I don't think that was like a. I do think there are people that are masters at social media, and they know which yeah. button to push, right? And they're in the fishing industry. They're yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But I think that was sincere, dude. It's like the Uncle Larry Outdoors guys. I don't know if you follow those boys down in Florida. Used to.
I know who they are.
Not great guys, but they had that awesome clip, dude, catching that 10-pounder in a kayak last year. That's been shared a gazillion times. You can't fake sincere moments. Like you really can't. And like they deserved for that to be the viral video that it turned into. And that's what I'm saying about the yeah. Oliver
Anthony. I mean, family. People say all the time about like even like Swindle, people say, like, dude, does Swindle think of some things before he says it? Yes. Is he scripted? No. He is just funny. It doesn't even matter how he does it, dude. He is just one of a kind, man. And yeah, I mean, I get that all the time. What do you watch Swindle, man? What do you see his nuts? He's as nuts as
he's an idiot.
Is. He's even more nuts. Yes. Idiot. He has got an extra chromosome for sure.
Maybe two. Maybe.
Space cadet. Yes. Does he make me cry? Yes. Make me cry thinking about him.
He's also he's also a grumpy old man now, dude. He's a old man.
He is an old man.
On. Like I tell him all the time, he's older than dirt. And yeah. Now he's like, I'd have got away with it voting for these meddling kids. He's like the Scooby-Doo villain.
old man. Just a sick old man. He's so funny though. God, he's funny.
It is. It's actually, and I get that question a lot from people as well. What's Gerald like, man? What's Gerald like? And I'm like, dude, like that more times than not. Like the bull crap yeah. you see on social media. Like when you're just standing around, most of the time he's throwing daggers of some kind at you, and most of the time ones he can't post.
Yes, yeah, he's actually just more like kind of filtered, kind of. In yeah. real, you know,
yeah, social media is filtered.
Everybody, yeah,
way more filtered.
Funny guy, he's funny,
and but also a great, great guy. Like, I can't stress that enough to people. I think he shows that side a lot on social media, but just a heart as big as anybody's you will ever meet. Under the G-Man jersey, there, I'll assure you, he is goodness gracious,
dude. We talk about platforms, like, I don't know where you want to go with this next, but I think there is. People always say the fishing community, like, man, there is so many people that are just good people that fish, that I fish with, against, meet. And that's one thing that I really like about the podcasting side of it that I think has so much potential to grow because it's just, I think it's just part of the change in the industry and everything as a whole. But I hope that it's like people get to just see the other stuff that's out there and the people that are out there, you know, that it's and we don't get to spend a lot of time as fishermen around those guys because you don't. I think a lot of people don't realize at a tournament what it's like. Like when you travel around and stay with Strader, like you see Strader all the time. You're around him at the house. You get up, you fish. But there's a lot of guys you really like to just chat with, whatever you see at the meeting, but you don't actually know them. And dude, there's a lot of people like that in the fishing world that you just don't have time. There's just not enough time, and they all have stories. And I think that's the one thing of podcasting that's got out there that's awesome is telling, you know, giving people a platform to kind of, and if they don't know how to use social media, they're an oldie or whatever, being able to interview those people like you do and find out more about them. I mean, it's a
No, it's such a great platform for that. And that's originally LBL when I first started messing with it. That's what it was about, because I was so into podcasts and stories. I didn't care. Like, if Joe Rogan had a pro athlete on, I didn't necessarily want to hear, you know, how many yards they ran for in football and how they got, but I wanted to know how they got to be the person that they are. Right. Because everybody gets dealt a different hand of cards in life, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, you got a great home situation, a terrible home situation. And I've been obsessed since I was a kid, man, with biographies and autobiographies. Like, I've read so many just like random ones that you'd be like, really? You read that and enjoyed that? Like, I've always been that way, whether it's athletes, musicians, historical figures, whatever. And then podcasting kind of turned documentaries too, like that kind of thing. But then podcasts, when I really got into podcasts, that's where the idea for LBL came from. I'm like, man, there are so many, like you said, great stories. You're sitting around on the back deck with a couple of pros, veteran guys, and some stories you can tell on here, some of them you can't. But I just think that to look at someone and look at their stat line in fishing, or to look at them and go, oh, well, they're great with a frog, or they're this guy, is just selling our industry so short, because we have so many like yourself and like so many others that have great personalities, that have stories, great senses of humor, to just have a conversation in this platform. Yeah. Man, it's awesome. Yeah. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Next topic. What do you want to talk about?
Next topic. Man, Matt, we need to start a show together. Like, what's the one where the Tony Kornheiser guy yells at stuff? And
not around the part of my interruption.
Yeah, we'll do this. We'll go next topic. We'll do sound effects.
What's the other guy's name?
Will Bond.
Yes, Michael.
Yeah.
Will Bond.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't watched that one in a minute.
They're just grumpy old men hollering at each other.
They are now. 20 years ago, they weren't really. They were still grumpy. They just weren't old. I think something else on this kind of the front of or on the topic of the youth movement that we're seeing, and I have talked about this a lot, but some of the things that have happened in your life recently, sponsor situations, you've had some difficulties, and I think the question to you is, are we honest enough as an industry to up and coming anglers about how difficult it can be, not from the competition side, because that's really up to you, right, to figure that side out and whether you belong there, but on the business side of it, even when you are a Matt Lee, when you are a hell, even a Kevin Van Dam, right? Like, there are things that go on from a business standpoint that we never talk about, and it can be very cutthroat, right? Are we honest enough about that?
Yeah, probably answer your question. I would say no, not honest enough. Would people really listen? I don't know if we were honest about it. I guess one thing that kind of cues my brain is, was talking to Todd when we were finishing up the other night fishing, and we got into baseball. And probably baseball is not honest enough at the percentages and how many guys get stuck in the minor leagues making $20,000 a year. Everybody makes the same. But if they were more honest about that, and like what your percentages are making baseball, would still as many kids play baseball and try to play baseball professionally? Probably. Because they see that carrot, right? And if you're that age, especially. Really? Yeah, if you're that age, especially. I mean, dude. Yeah, I mean, through the ups and downs and fishing and me and, like, I go at every tournament to win one, never won a professional level event, like, as much of a grind. And sometimes it's like, but it's all, you know, everything's perspective in life. You talked about that a lot, is how awesome it's been for me. So for me to really sell it short on what it is kind of, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's like, dude, I've gotten everything that, you know. So, yeah, not honest enough. It is brutal. It is, I mean, and most sports are, you know, I would say. I would like to see a percentage. And that's one thing that I think maybe the area that we live in the Southeast, Like, everybody fishes. People that don't fish grew up with a boat. They know how to cast a bait caster. A lot of the North America, even, it's not like that. So I just wonder, you know, and now you're seeing all these kids, what percentage of kids quit playing sports, different sports in high school to just be on the fishing team? And, you know, to us, those numbers seem insane. The growth, the, you know, how many people fish, how many kids fish, the high school tournaments, how many boats they have now compared to 3 years ago, 5, 8. But I don't, you know, it's you can get caught in the weeds, and I don't know the answers. But to say about, like, what I do know the answers to, I said, you know, one question I get a lot is, how do you get sponsors? We kind of, like, chatted about that. Like, one part, let's say start here, that's not talked about. It is talked about, but maybe not taken, is taken for granted, is the fact that when you, at whatever level you get to, whoever you are, if you win the Bassmaster Classic tomorrow, there is not that many calls coming your way offering you money. All right, let's just like,
I love it.
Let's think about that for a second. Okay. How do you put that in? How do you describe that a little bit better? I guess there is that assumption that as you climb the ladder, I think even as an influencer, tomorrow you have a video go viral. You can monetize that through the platform you're through, but people, I think, through, you know, I'm kind of an influencer, but I am, but not on that level. Do you have a lot of those companies reach out, or is it based on an agency you work with? You know, we mentioned John Crist earlier, like some of those comedians that are out there. If they have Old Spice and they do a promo for them, does Old Spice really reach out to them? Maybe they do if they get to a certain, you know, number, but then they get overwhelmed, because I get overwhelmed with a bunch of spam that's we want to sponsor, do posts, you know, that it's really hard to go through the weeds. And a lot of these guys that are on social that are influencers, I don't really see them themselves. You know, at a certain point, I guess you got enough followers, you have a team, and I don't really know how that goes. But with everything, but in bass fishing, these companies, they do pretty well just by themselves.
True.
They don't really, you know, they don't really need, I don't know. I mean, hopefully they do need you, but need you to the extent to make you, you know, I think that's a misconception, you know? I mean,
I'm going to say this, and I may get tar and feathered for it by some of my industry friends in the, on the professional fishing side of things. I think companies need pro anglers, unfortunately, less now than they ever have. And not because they're sponsoring influencers, but there is a thing that goes on in all of our lives that you don't even realize is happening. And is it, it's you're being sold to nonstop. They know everything that we do. And I say they, companies get this marketing data, they get this sales data through cookies on websites. So, you know what I'm saying? And when you get on Facebook, Matt Lee, everything that you like, what? It comes right your way. They serve it up to you on a platter. And I think in this day and time, they have figured out that type marketing so well, the really good companies, that influencers even don't matter. No matter how many numbers you're pulling, it's a scary, it is a scary time. Because like you said in the beginning of this, used to a company, of course they'd put a patch on Denny Brower's shirt, right? And he walks up there on the Bassmaster stage, and that's the one place people hear him. And that interview might be on the TNN Bassmasters. He does a little blurb in Bassmaster magazine, and that's where people consumed it from a fishing standpoint. Well, now the company themselves have a social media platform where they're trying to drive traffic to, and XYZ bait company is going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of followers, and they have content. They post three times a day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Boom, 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 boom. It is so, it's such a different time. And 20 years ago, hell, even 10 years ago, that didn't exist. Not like that, but we're learning so much more. And I say that from a new business owner, man, I sit back and look at this from a Southern Boating Supply side a lot, because I have so many people I've worked with over the years in this industry. And I do kind of have a fresh outlook, because in my former life, I saw what we did and I saw what we got in return at times. And man, it's, there's a lot going out. There's a lot going out, a lot more going out sometimes. And I think you're seeing that, right, wrong, or indifferent. You're seeing that with a lot of companies these days, man. You really are. Yeah. It's difficult. I can't imagine being a pro angler right now. Being a kid coming out of college that just qualifies for the elites or whatever and going, hey, I made it. Give me money. Here you go. Please. Imagine being that guy right now. Cannot.
No. I think as the sport grows, you have more people that are interested in making it full time. So then you have, it's about who's willing to go to more links to make it, right? It doesn't matter what sport you're in.
Yes.
Like if you're, what's the girl's name that was just, Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark.
Like everybody wants to be Caitlin Clark, but everybody don't want to do Caitlin Clark type things. What's that quote from? Yeah. What's that? Yeah.
Everybody wants to be the man until they've got to do the work that it takes to be the man.
Yeah. So if you're a kid and you're willing to, you know, everybody wants to go all in at 16 or whatever, but if you're 25 and you're still willing to sleep out of your truck and fish, there's a better chance you're going to make it too, because, you know, you're not really at, you're willing to sleep out of your truck. If you're okay with making, you know, clearing $5,000 at the end of the year and still bass fishing, then you're probably got a better chance to make it than somebody that's looking to get rich and fish and do bass fishing. So, you know, it comes full circle. One thing I will say too, that I look at is, it's weird as fishing has grown. So you see this in our world too. Like if I say, all right, if you're on Dude Perfect tomorrow, Luke Duncan, and it goes on the internet, all right, your Instagram is going to jump by how much at the end of, after?
A lot. I mean, bad, I don't know what the feasible number is, but it would be a lot. Yeah.
Whether you're really cool on there, not that, I mean, whatever. Cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's going to jump. When Swamp People came out, you know, you start to see Swamp People stuff in gas stations, you know, they're trying to sell, you know, a lot of eyeballs are on that, and it grows. The weird thing happened in our sport. If Luke Duncan wins the Bassmaster Classic or the Red Crest or an Olympia, anything in bass fishing, you win it tomorrow. You pick it. I don't even care what it is. How much your Instagram grow?
Not much. Not much, because I have dear friends that I have had this conversation with after very big wins and significant wins in the sport. And it's like, it's not that much, man.
It's not much. But if you're on Dude Perfect tomorrow, so is that a direct representation of the amount of eyeballs that is on our sport? Does that have to do with how it's, you know, promoted? Does that, you know, I watch a lot of Supercross stuff, and you have guys, same kind of deal. You have guys in there that just are Instagrammers in motocross, and you have guys that actually race in the Supercross stuff, and they just had an event in Nashville. But you go on there and look at those guys. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are, I mean, they're in debt doing it, but there is, you know, the guys at the top, they're at that plus $600,000 followers up to a million plus. It's huge. So that tells me that there's more eyeballs on that than there is fishing.
No doubt. I'll tell you one on Dude Perfect. That, just real quick to put things in perspective, yeah. This is 1,000,000% fact. Okay. This is 1,000,000% fact. So there's a company, and I won't say the company, and y'all can all guess who it is, but there's a company in the fishing outdoors industry that sponsored them multiple times. They got, for like six episodes, $1 million an episode for YouTube video, not even really an episode technically, but for six of them, $6 million deal. Okay. I know this for like, again, factual, very factual. From the same company. There was a very successful pro angler on this same pro staff. There were several pro anglers. The top pro angler, one of the greatest to ever do it, made about $250,000 a year from him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, I was like, boys, we are not what we think we are at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, that if you really think about it a lot of different ways, but it is, that's eye-opening.
It's crazy. Yeah. I was told that a couple years ago, and it absolutely blew my socks off. I could not wrap my head around it. I mean, I can because I sit on the couch, and I watch Dude Perfect videos with my boys all the time, and I see they've got a bass fishing video where they, and I know you've probably seen it, Matt, where they go out and they're like, oh, we're going to fish with this, the stage one, we fish with this drill. Stage two, you got to do this. And it's all in this pond in Texas. And it's got like 80 million. Go look it up right now, YouTubers.
48 million
views. Yeah. 48. There you go. 48 million views on a bass fishing video. No, you think all bass might be 80. I thought it was 80.
They got 60 million subscribers. This bass fishing battle is 48 million views 4 years ago. So.
Almost 50 million views. Come on, man.
Yeah. So I will give influencers and bass fishing credit is because they're kind of maybe they just saw that. Like for me, I was lucky in that I was doing Instagram before Instagram was like really a part of fishing because I was just that age and I'm kind of nerdy and I like doing it. So I already had a head start. So when I won the college deal, I already had an Instagram I was posting on, and that's when it was growing a ton. Mm-hmm. And if you were just doing, it's just kind of like YouTube. If you're just in it and keep going and it's the right time, it'll just grow. Right. And
you're rewarded for your work.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was, you know, that was at a time. And then with YouTube, I really didn't, I didn't start on that. Like when I should have didn't really, it, to me, like the YouTube, the video, it's more work than the Instagram was. Sure. In that, and you got to be real, you know, there's a lot that goes into it about what you're going to put on YouTube and to really grow your, you know, your views there. I'll give it to Dude Perfect is that they've changed guys a little bit, but they've consistency over a long period of time is the deal. And I think it's easy to get bogged down. I know myself included in the other stuff on social, and it makes you just kind of burn out on it because of the stuff that you see and the world we're in. But, yeah. And so if you go out tomorrow and Luke Duncan's on Dude Perfect and your Instagram grows and all of a sudden tomorrow you wake up and you got 300,000 followers. And now if you get paid by a sponsor more than I do, can I be mad at that? The fact that, you know, I've been around, like maybe I'm a guy that's even, you know, bigger in fishing. Can I get mad at you because you're getting more money when you directly online, it says you influence more people than I do. I mean, it might not be like, what's the marketing numbers, like a CPU or the cost CPM. Per million CPM.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cost per million. Like for that, company that you were talking about to sponsor Dude Perfect with $1 million, was it really a bad deal? It was a lot of money, but was it a bad deal compared to giving me $50,000? Might have been a worse deal for the amount of people that you're going to see it. You know, I don't. That's and so, but there is a going back to the tournament scene. There definitely is something crazy happening, strange, whatever. And that, man, there is a good chance. I'm not saying like this is set in stone, but next year Matt Lee wins the Bassmaster Classic or the Red Crest or whatever you want, whatever it is, anything. Pick a tournament. There's a 85% chance that my wrap, jersey, everything looks really similar the following year.
Oh, it, yeah, that happens a lot now.
That's truthful. That's sad. And I think, like, when you were talking about it's not talked about enough in the industry, I think, like, a lot of people just, they're not in it. They don't know. But if you just stop and think about it, like, it's out there for you to, you know, kind of see that it's not, you know, it's not what it used to be or all that it's, you know, it's just changing. I mean, I don't know why that is. Is that because of saturation, or is that because, like, with more tournament trails, like you were talking about, is it because of more avenues to watch fishing, and the ones we're, you know, I'm doing aren't getting as many views? I don't know.
I don't know where it's headed. And I do want to say here, though, you know, this is not me trying to discourage anybody from trying to chase the dream of it. This is not me trying to paint it in a bad light. It is what it is. But I do think that so many times, and look, I was one of those young guys, and it's changed a lot since I was a 12-year-old that was obsessed with it. But then luckily I got to know a lot of pros, you know, through my travels as a young man that told me the realities of it. Even back then, some of the realities, and the reality now is such a different, far different reality than the reality in the 90s when I was coming up through it, you know, in early 2000s, because hell, we had $1 million bass tournaments in the early 2000s. I mean, payouts were stupid. You had some FLW events that were paying 100th place, like 10 grand down to 100th, and things like 250,000 in a regular season event kind of deal. Those days have long been gone. From a payouts standpoint.
And if you went to a high school then and it had 1,000 kids at the high school, how many of them, you know, you did a survey on how many wanted to be a pro angler, what, there might have been 4 of them?
Maybe. I was going to say, I know at my high school, and we graduated, you know, 250 in my graduating class, so not like a huge high school.
Yeah.
I was the only one, dude. The only one. Got made fun of for bass fishing, like the only one. Now it's funny, several friends of mine from high school now, they're just diehard tournament anglers. Some of them fish ABT. They, you know, some of them fish Toyota. They fish all kind of stuff. And like, they came about it like in their later 20s, and they were like, man, wish we'd have been doing this with you back then, man. But they were doing everything but that then. And we fished and stuff together every now and then.
Yeah.
Go.
It's weird. So the money was that insane. And then like in 09, like still Jordan's like, oddball out because he has Bassmaster magazine at school, like and now as it's grown, you know, my 10-year-old nephew still wants to watch, you know, catch big bass in pond on YouTube when he comes over, and I'm the old guy now. It's like, no, we're gonna watch fishing, we're gonna watch real fishing, so then,
come on,
and we're gonna put on like 2006 Southern Challenge Gunnersville, you know, watch some of his old footage, like we're gonna watch the like Zell rolling run down the lake, you know,
like salamander.
Yeah, like we're gonna watch this real fishing. We're gonna watch. So, dude, I don't know. So it's just hard to say where's it going. Man, I don't know.
If we knew it, we'd be millionaires, Maddie.
Yeah, and I did say that. Like I said, a lot of that, just like what you just touched on, dude. I have not caught fish as good as I need to in the past, well, ever. But really, I've sucked, to be honest, in the past year, and I don't win a lot, and I've been able to make a living fishing professionally, bass tournaments. Like, the sport has done so much for me. Like, dude, it is awesome. So, I don't think as discouraging as me, you and I could be is really going to discourage that many people, because just like the MLB reference, like, you know, if you love bass fishing, you're going to do it, and you can – yeah, I mean, you can – I always said, like, for me in baseball, like, we talked before we went on air about maxing out in sports. It didn't matter how hard I worked at baseball. I was not going to be pitching for the Red Sox or playing like whatever I was going to be doing. It doesn't matter. But in fishing, you don't got to have an arm. You don't have to be super athletic. So if you're willing to work, put in the time year after year, things don't change through the course of growing up, college, all that. And you're able to learn, put time in, keep your priorities straight, you know, be smart about money and make it happen. have some breaks along the way. You're going to need that. And then, like, you can make it fishing. I mean, anybody can. So that's awesome with our sport. And guys are going to continue to do that from now to whenever. But there's you don't hear enough about the other side of fishing. And the little bit that you do, people care, they watch, but I don't know if it really discourages them from the sport. I mean, it's still.
I said at the first of the show, I was talking about this kids event we did yesterday, Cops and Bobbers. Too cool. Took a lot of kids fishing, some of which had never been, some that had been a little bit. But at the end of the day, fishing is still a beautiful thing. You know, anything that you monetize, anything that you turn into a job is going to be difficult if it's meant to be a dream kind of scenario in life, right? You know, not living that typical 9-to-5 life, which there's nothing wrong with that either. But if anything that you're, whether it's professional sports, fishing, music, weed eating, right? Like, oh, I want to run my own business. I want to have my own lawn care business. I promise you, you're going to work harder than you would if you clocked in and out at Walmart. You're going to work harder. Just because your brain's going to have to work harder because it's more stress organizing the schedule, organizing the expenses, or you know what I mean? Anything that kind of outside the quote norm, whatever normal is going to be more difficult. It just is. And so I think that more people need to realize that. I'll say this too. We'll end on a couple things here, Matt. And I'm not going to go deep into the weeds on this one at all, but I do want to say this because I you said, ooh.
When you're already apologizing or
I'm apologizing. I'm pretty apologizing for who all I'm about to offend. No, it's nothing like that. I do think we sell people, they turn on FS1. Or they turn on, MLF Live, MPFL Live, and oh my gosh, Angler X is catching them so good. God, these guys are amazing. Now, I want to say this. They are amazing. They are amazing. But there are, I will say, there's some black magic voodoo type things that do go on in our sport sometimes that don't get talked about enough, dude. I'm always enamored by the fact that I see a guy. I saw one this week on Bassmaster Live. They had 2 days of practice. There was a guy that never been there. Saw his post about, it's tough, never been here. And my man is in the middle of the river, and he's 100 miles from where they put in. They had 2 days to break this down. Dude, I've seen big bodies of water. I've done that. And he's on the goods. And sometimes I just call bull on that. And I just do. I do. So I think there's that smoke and mirrors part of it too, because you and I said this before the show. You made a great comment. You're like, hey, only time will tell on this, but it's hard for me to look at a young guy and go, man, if you put in 10,000 hours, there's a comparison you made. Will you ever be Kevin Van Dam? I don't know. But there's things that go on behind the scenes that may or may not be a little gray sometimes, I think. May or may not be blatant rule. Right? Do you feel like we have... I mean, is that fair?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you could come to that conclusion, honestly, Luke. I mean, I just think you're just out there. We'll just leave it at that. End of podcast.
Everybody's just great. They're just
I'll say this. My mom shows horses. Bless my dad.
Lily
shows horses. Okay. There's money involved. But it's most people do it because they're trying to, like, it's a weird genetics thing in horses where, like, you know, you have a horse that wins, it has babies, for people that don't know. And, like, I'm not the expert, but that's a Dr. Lee question.
Bloodlines, lineages, all that kind of thing.
Yeah. But you're not at a horse. My mom's not at a horse competition to win $100,000. Okay. But she's, you know, my dad maybe wishes that she was, but you can't be given. There's a lot of rules that go into that. There's a lot of rules, which I'm not really privy on. Like, I'm not up to date on, but you can't be given, you know, I always kid dad, I need some of that horse testosterone. You can't be giving your horse it. People cheat like crazy.
And horses.
Showing horses,
okay.
With no money involved. If you know, in certain sports, it's a lot harder. You know, in baseball, you got to have a cork bat, and you got to figure out how to get a, you know, you got to get caught with a cork bat. You got stuff on, you know, you're the pitcher, and you got an extra little pine tar up there.
Yeah.
You got to get busted. You know, you can hide it inside your glove.
Yeah.
And even there, you still got to make the pitches. The bass fish, you still got to catch the fish. But it is, dude, it is scary time that we're in, because in fishing, how much of it is location? You know, like, I know, like, Palahniuk, like, a lot of guys always say, really, that, you know, everybody can flip a dock. You get to a certain level. Like, guys are certain guys are better at skipping a jig than others. But, dude, if they're under every other pier, you get a certain level. Guys are good enough. They're going to get them under.
They're going to catch. Yeah.
They're going to get them on the pier. And at every level you're at, you see it in fishing. And I think it has only gotten worse, obviously, with, like, it doesn't matter if you're at the Alabama Bass Trail or you're, dude, it doesn't matter what level you're at. Like, dude, you could be $30 Wildcat. You could be your kid's ninth grade bass tournament, or you could be MLF Bassmaster Elite Series. Like, it's hard to keep. You throw money in line, much less people's careers, much less all these different avenues to open up if you do catch them. And people just, dude, the world we live in, like you might be the most honest dude out there, but everybody ain't like that. Hello. You know, look at our government. Look at, there's a lot of people that would go to a lot of links, and they're not the most honest, trustworthy people. Some people are just, I think they're just wired that way different, right? Like, depends on a lot of different factors, but so that makes it tough in fishing, because fishing is one of those where location matters a lot. I mean, it is like skill matters, but location matters
more.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. And if you
get by a lot, I mean like by 90% of it.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you change that? I don't know. But
man,
and that's doesn't, and then like, what is that?
Getting a tournament fishing though, right? Like,
it has
worse now though, I think, because of the flow of information and because of social media. Cause think about this. Used to, we'll throw Denny Brower's name in there. Not for any reason other than like, he's a legend, right? If Denny Brower was on Wheeler Lake and they're going out of First Creek, Joe Wheeler State Park, and they're down there for a top 150, and Denny did the thing like a lot of old school pros do, and like we still do today, he's going to go to the old local tackle store. I don't even think there's one in Rogersville, Alabama anymore, but you know what I'm saying. And he goes in there, and the local hammer's in there having coffee, and he says, well, hello, Denny. I'm a big fan of yours. You know what you ought to be doing. Let me tell you, I won at Decatur last weekend. I was flipping them stumps and the XYZ. And, dude, not saying Denny would have taken the information, but I'm saying when you are of a certain caliber – and you're accessible, somebody will offer you things like that. And with social media now, everyone is accessible. And everybody has a fan base, whether they're the best in the world or the last. They've all got fans. They keep up with them. They've all got fans that live around every single lake. What we have now with this youth movement is you have a lot of stone cold fish catchers in high school, college, that want to be friends with Angler X. Right. And I think you see it more now. It's not talked about, but I do think it is a very, very big issue in professional fishing. How you police it, I don't know, because they try. They've got rules. I think the tournament, I'll say this, and you can, and I would love to invite you to tell me your thoughts on it. I think the tournament trails, and we've seen it with the one you fish. We've seen it with the one that I work with at times. You have situations. I've seen it in Bassmaster. I think the last thing any of them want to do is report they had a rule infraction. I'm sorry. I believe it to my bones, because they are there to sell sponsorships and to run a bass tournament, but to entertain people. and I may get burned at the stake for saying that, but I promise you the last thing any of them want to report is they had a rule infraction because it shows they had a chink in the armor. And I believe that. I believe it.
Yeah, I believe it too. I think you've seen it more than I have from that side. I know from an angler side, I'll throw this out there. Me. So they're doing that cut down, like MLF Bass Pro Tour is. Mm-hmm. They're doing a cut down to whatever their 65 this year. Like if I get nuked at the end of the year, like I don't know what I'm going to do. I keep fishing tournaments. There'll always be tournaments, but I don't know really what the future holds. Like I'm not like, there's no doubt, Luke, in 6 years, I'll be at the same spot doing the same thing, blah, blah. So for me, I was either before Del Hollow or after the first day of Del Hollow, I had a buddy text me that is not from Del Hollow, but he texted me, man, I didn't know you were at Del Hollow. I spent all of March or April last year there. I spent the whole month there fishing. I'm like, well, it's all right. I couldn't get any info anyway, because a lot of people don't know that we can't get info as soon as like the schedule is announced. However wishy-washy that is. But the day I find out where a tournament's going the next year, I can't get info. So I can't get any info. I didn't know, and well, he didn't tell me anything, and I told him I couldn't get info. But like, I have faith that the good Lord, I'll be wherever I'm supposed to be. Things happen for a reason. Like, you don't always know why things happen, but it's hard at times. It's easy to say that right now on here, but man, there's a lot of unknowns for me in my future. I'm not a guy that wins a lot of tournaments, but I hope to be fishing better a year from now than I am the past year. But if I'm wired different, when that guy says that, and I know I'm going into a tournament where I'm fishing the bank a bunch, planning to, and guys are going to be out dropping, you know, on them. And what does it take? What kind of pressure do I have to have built on me to be like, man, I ain't supposed to, you can't tell me anything, but you tell me something, then I'm going to tell you, you shouldn't have told me that, but you can go ahead and tell me anyway.
I watched a
Lake Fork video from Jordan's day on the water, my brother, and he's catching freak giants. I'm like, holy smoke, these fish on jerkbait. Dude, I got to find the clip. He catches one, and the guy, you know, that at Bass, they didn't weigh him in that tournament. They had the guys out there.
Right.
Blew my mind. I mean, it didn't blow my mind, but it's just like the guy holds up the scale, and he's like 6'11", 6'12". And without skipping him, Jordan goes, man, I think I was a 6'11". He didn't even know that his camera even picked this coverage up, because he almost didn't even put it online because he didn't think his camera was working. He goes, man, I think I was a 6'11". And that's just my brother being my brother. Well, here he weighs it, and he's like, 6'11". Well, it's just an ounce. But like, it was his initial instinct that fish was probably 6'11". Day one at Del Hollow. Like, there's so many ways that so much stuff can happen in fishing. Like, I caught the second one. Quick story. I know we'll be on 4 hours. In practice, I was like, I seen one on locked on. I was like, man, I can't tell. I'm just gonna see how long it takes me to get it to bite. I pitched like 8 times or 8 minutes worth of flipping, and it bit and swam off. And I was like, man, I think it had in its mouth, but it looked like it was snagged with a bait in its side. And it was, and I was like, there was a local in front of me, and I was like, this is like, that's weird. Well, it spit it out or whatever. And it was the last day of practice. So I went in, and day one of the tournament, I go back to it, and I can barely see that there's like the spot where the fish is at. And I pitched over the drop shot several times, and like once I just hopped it. And when I hopped it, it started swimming off with it. Got it. Well, it was a birthmarks, but it had a birthmark on its pec fin. And I caught it, and like caught it, and it was a solid one, and he weighed it, and it said 3.6. dude, it wasn't a 3.6. And he's first time ever doing this. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that's. And he was not going to, you know, I don't know if he's going to say something or not. I don't say that. But he was just, you know, we were both kind of knew it probably wasn't a 3.5 pounder. So he put it back on the scales and it was a 211. And I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in fishing, you know.
A lot of guys go, 3.38, great.
And throw it back in. Yeah.
I know.
And then, you know, like you'll be the guy that says it's 211, and then you'll miss out on $10,000 by, you know, 2 ounces. And then you get home and you'll think about that. And then you'll get an email that'll say your next $5,000 entry fee's due. And then you'll get like your water bill in the mail, and you'll get $1,200 in bills waiting on you when you get home. And then you start to think about those 2 ounces, and then you're like, man, you know, you got to, like, even if you're a guy that does the right thing, you're just starting to, this is not even talking about locations and all this. This is just talking about being, dude,
ethical.
If you strike out in baseball, you know, you just struck out. Like the call maybe wasn't a strike and the guy called it a strike. You struck out. You need to be in the cages more. There's a lot of, every sport's different. But, dude, all I had to do was just give him a little, yep, 3.6. I lost by a lot more than 2 ounces, just throwing it out there. But, yeah. And then on top of that, like, let's just compound that. Dudes are getting smarter. The technology's better. There's ways around everything. You can't find intent on a polygraph, to my knowledge, really well. That's why if I come to your house and shoot Luke Duncan, I have no reason to, just throwing this out there. And I go to jail and I go to court, they don't polygraph me and say, did you go to his house and shoot him? They look for evidence on it. You know, like they don't decide. I'm pretty sure, correct me and my lawyers if I'm wrong, but you just can't decide if somebody really killed somebody on purpose just based on a lie detector. And that's it. We're just going to. And so, like, when you start enforcing stuff based on a lie detector, we take lie detectors. We've had different people that gave lie detector. And normally it's 3 hour long sitting in a room. It is miserable. And it's not just miserable. Like, it's just 3 hours of your day off that you got to go meet a guy, sit there, a bunch of stuff strapped on, and he just, you know, ask you a bunch of questions, and you're like, man, it's an extensive process, and we have rules. I mean, like you said, there is rules. People have tried. I mean, it's not like they just say free for all, but I don't know how it changes in fishing going forward. I mean, it is. And then on top of that, like if you're not catching them, you're like me, and you're just going through you just need to start catching them better. It's a lot easier to be poking fingers at everything else. The guy in my position.
And look, when I get on these rolls, you know, people be in the comments like, well,
you should have called him better.
You could have called him better, blah, blah, blah. Same with like the Watson, his opinion on the requalifications and all that got him fined and then, you know, ultimately gone. Yeah. People are like, you should have called him better and just worried about that instead of FBD hats. Well, yeah, that's easy to type as well, right? And what I said about the tournament trails, like, I do know I do feel like most of them do try to run a clean event. Okay. I do feel like that at the end of the day. I don't feel like they're trying to give one guy an advantage over another. I read all, I don't, my comment wasn't necessarily meant at that, but it is a nightmare. And I'm talking about dating back to the old FLW days when the Tony Christian saga happened. You were probably 12 years old when that happened, Matt. But he was one of the only people that's ever been banned from FLW. It was a crazy, it could be a damn Netflix documentary, how it all went down, and it was crickets. If you weren't in the tournament to see it all going down, weren't around it then, you'd never know what happened. And it was one of the biggest scandals, if not the biggest scandal, in pro fishing history, and maybe in the history of the forever. And you'll never hear about it. There's never a press. Oh, dude, incredible. This man had a sophisticated system. He was bringing fish in from all over the place. He had boxes put out. He won the All-American. He weighed in a dead bass in the damn BFL All-American on the Mobile Delta on camera, caught it when he put it in the boat. He was dead. D-E-A-D, dead, dead, dead. A friend of mine was in the damn camera boat when he lipped it. He lipped it and the thing was graveyard dead. He always caught them on a jig. He always caught them off of poles. these boxes were supposedly on the poles. He won big bass in like, dude, I want to think like, just to throw a number out. If he fished 30 BFLs before he ever qualified to go to the FLW tour, if he fished 30 BFLs, he won big bass like 29 of them. He always just had giants. He could be on Lake Lanier and he weighed 9 pound largemouth. I mean, it's dummy stuff, right? Bass fan did an article with him one time. He said, most people are just afraid to fish for big bass. Like, yeah, you know. And this is all early 2000s, right? Message board stuff, like Bass Fishing homepage. You're hearing all this stuff, right? And he won a Toyota on Martin, Coast to Everstart, whatever. And a friend of mine was his co-anchor. Got pulled into all this, subpoenaed. Friend of mine from my hometown. On the final day, he weighs in like a 7-something largemouth, some other big ones. He fished one dock on Lake Martin all day. If a boat came into the pocket, he'd turn the trolling motor on high and go fish the pocket with a shad wrap. When the boat would leave, he'd go back. He'd throw at the same pole, not just the same dock, the same corner post over and over and over and over. And these fish, it was always led to believe, here I am just getting
a good post.
Could have been a great post. Could have been a great brush pile. But it was always believed it was a box that had some kind of deal where the fish couldn't get out, but a bait, like a heavy jig, could get in, and they were either starving because they had been there, or he would snag them. And, dude, like, my man made the top three at Okeechobee. This is when they got on him. This is when they started figuring it out, because co-anglers were getting interviewed fishing docks in the Rim Canal, right, and his first ever FLW. And honest to God, I think this is what back then, and I'm speaking for FLW folks, the great Bill Taylor, they were all involved in this, and they don't like to talk about it. And Bill said on this show, there was only one person they ever banned, banned for life from FLW, and it was this man. It was Tony Christian. I would love to know this entire, like, but I know enough about the story, and I've been with them. And
like the Loch Ness Monster thing. You need to,
no doubt, dude. But they called him at the Pascagoula Rivers where they finally caught him. They witnessed the process. But had the guy, he had a huge ego, larger than life ego. And had he not had that ego, he could have probably poked them for a couple hundred thousand dollars a year and they would have never known. But dude, he came out, he had to win everything. That was his deal. But he won All American. He took them for a ride of like over $500,000 in like 4 events.
Yeah. See, and my answer to me for all of that, like, is Matt, you got to worry about you. You got to go out there and catch it better. Absolutely. You got to handle. And dude, it is, like, going back to what I said. When things aren't going good and you're not catching them well, and a lot of you hear rumors about stuff like, dude, you've got to, and I know there's a lot of guys, I will say that they're like my age, guys that I like, that I talk to regularly, that are competitors of mine, that feel the same way I do. Yeah. And guys that I fish with, guys that I don't, but everybody, they just feel like, dude, what can you do? As you just got to go out and just do what, you know, you best you can. And because that's always going to be a thing in fishing, and it is what it is, as bad as it sucks at times. But I do feel like a lot of times, like you said, how it's portrayed, like if you're a part of the event, and when you fish events, I don't care, not talking about me, I'm just talking about anybody, you know, when stuff's just hairy.
Just doesn't smell right. Yeah.
It doesn't. And dude, it really doesn't even matter. Like, I'm not even talking about professional fishermen. There's somebody that is here kind of local to me that got busted like his third time in a short amount of time. And like, dude, these are like, what's he winning?
$200, $300. Yeah, maybe
$300. You think, dude, if you got any sense after the first couple of times, you just, man. And then like, you guys put weights in walleye, and they're going to jail for it. I mean, it's a pretty serious offense. Like, guys are maybe getting a lot more money than that, not going to jail for it, or even.
I agree.
That's it is what it is. That's another part of our sport that's just kind of, dude. And that's kind of like the high school deal. Like, man, you get 400 boats on a lake, and do you really decide who the best anglers are by just having a free for all and who all you can call about finding out where fish
guys
are
and all this. Kids and all kinds.
Yeah. Like, let's just go out to Pond Sandusky, take 10 of us with cameras and see who comes in with the best couple, you know? And that's one thing that I always like, would say about my brother, like you take him a 5-gallon bucket that's never even had a fish in it, he'd catch a 5-pounder out of. Like
on some old line. Like
yeah, just, line. Dude, my like he can't trim the shrubs, change your car tire, he can't do anything. But damn, it don't matter. You put him in a kayak, put him in a, it don't even matter. He's like his gift. He's gonna catch the biggest more often than, you know, I'll put my money on it. And dude, it's just like Wiggins has got a little bit of that going in him too.
No doubt
about
it.
But dude, like Wiggins, I just, when I'm around it, I'm just like Wiggins watches a kayaker's YouTube. I'm like, dude, you caught one on a chatterbait? He's like, yeah, I seen Tom somebody was in a kayak out here and caught a big one on it, so I thought I'd try it. You know, and he does, and he smokes them on it, and I'm like, holy cow, I'm over.
Feels him with the shaking head.
Yeah, but there is guys there. I mean, it's just part of our sport, man. And
I think for me, what always got me, especially competing, and you and I had this conversation in the boat, is at some point, I don't care who you are, you have a bad year, you have a bad day, you have a bad hour. It happens. It's fishing. It can damn sure happen. They got brains. They got fins. They can swim away. Things happen. Santa Claus ain't real. Neither is the Easter Bunny. And sometimes I'm just like, I don't know, man. I don't know. The storyline's too good. It's just too good sometimes. And dude, that doesn't matter if it's, again, NPFL that I commentate, if it's BPT, the pro circuit, whatever, you know, Bassmaster Elites, Bassmaster Opens, whatever the case is. I've just been around it and I've seen behind the curtain enough to go, yeah. Are they fantastic? Absolutely. Are they perfect? Absolutely not.
Because you go to that horse show and that horse couldn't make it one lap last week. But this week he's ran 17 and ain't even skipped a beat. He could have, man, he could have just really had the flu last week. But he could be on something too.
Damn horse.
And usually if it looks like, you know, looks like a duck, quacks like a duck. I mean, it not all the time, but if it starts, you know, it could be a duck.
I know. How many feelings on this episode of this segment? There are people right now. I mean, not right now, because we're recording this before this will upload. But tomorrow, Matt, there will be like, it's like a heavy on the keys. And they're going to be like, gah, 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 gah.
Hey, let's come back on after it airs and we'll start going through the question. What do y'all want to know, man?
That's a great idea. Is to post an episode and then like come back. You just gave me an idea for the new low budget thing to come back on like Wednesday live and read comments. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Comments let's with take them in order. Like a 20-minute segment and just come on and address comments.
Yeah, let's do it. Honestly, like when we got on here, both of us didn't know how this was going to go. And we don't want to be like negative Nancy on it.
No, it's a conversation.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about whatever.
Yeah, I love it. It's an in-person one.
Yeah. It's I mean, I talk bass fishing about, you know, we can talk about anything from bluegill to horse races. I mean, we'll touch on it all, man. You don't know what
pet beavers. Those Lees have pet beaver. I know all about that.
You're just showing horses too. Like the fact that it can run around a track. This ain't racing horse, but it turned into one. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. I love it.
Right. It's running sprints.
It was going to get them carrots, boy.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Matty Lee, y'all go make sure you're following on social media. I know y'all are. He's got more followers than most people I know.
Y'all go social media is dying on me, man. It's hard. I mean,
it is hard, dude.
I could be on Dude Perfect tomorrow. I tell you how much my Instagram would grow. 4. That's not 4,000, that's 4. Because Zuckerberg or whatever just hates bass fishing. And
same, man. We were talking about that Instagram thing earlier, like being in the beginning of it, like 13, 14, around there, you know, when I really started. And then 15, mine started growing. And I guess it was like really 17. So, you know, he caught 7 years ago. And I remember just the leaps and bounds, the thousands it would grow a week. And then it got to where it's at basically now. And it just said, skirt. Once it stopped, it just stopped. You're going, wait, what? And yeah. And they want you to pay for advertisement and all that. And Facebook's the same way, man. It's obviously both owned by the
it
same.
It would take a lot more than a Loch Ness Monster, Del Hollow viral than to get mine to grow.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. It is incredible to see. And they do allow some of it to go through, but they're definitely, I think, against the outdoors. Obviously against the outdoors. And they're really people that aren't willing to push paid promotion.
Yeah, you probably just answered my question. I need to start posting about pickleball or something. You just answered my question. What am I doing?
You're welcome, social media guru.
They don't like the outdoors. What am I doing with this bass picture?
Dead turkeys, dog. Dead turkeys.
Just to bring it full circle, I wonder if pumpkin seeds are scammed the same way. Maybe it'll get through. Dang.
The best post I made last year on Facebook was me with crappie. From a number standpoint, crappie through the roof. Big bass, 8-pounder, crickets. Crappie through the roof. Insane last year. Amazing.
See, you're already ahead of the curve because I was hating on the sungill, whatever it is, pumpkin seed. Maybe that's the route I need to go.
I haven't even posted that yet on my stuff. I got to. Me and the cane pole.
Dude, I mean, check the insights out on that. Yeah, we're rolling. All right. Thank you all. Thank you for having me, Luke. You the man.
Appreciate you, buddy. Matt Lee is a real one. Y'all make sure you're following him. Go give him some dadgum engagement, would you?
Hey, maybe we'll be back on this thing soon. Answer some questions. Luke says we're going to have a lot of questions.
We're going to have a lot of questions. Maybe. We'll see. Matt Lee, everybody. Thank you, buddy.
Thank y'all.
All right. That's all she wrote with Matty Lee. I appreciate him taking time out of his day to join us. And I appreciate each and every one of you lowlifers taking time out of whatever you have going on in life, whether you're working, whether you're driving down the road, hanging out with your family, whatever the case may be, each and every week to tune into this show. It means the world to me. It's like I said at the first of the show, I am so blessed and so grateful to have this opportunity, to have this platform, to spread the word about fishing, to be able to talk to people that are like-minded in the fishing world, and to talk to people that aren't like-minded in the fishing world. I mean, it's what makes the world go round. Everybody's got an opinion, man. It's awesome. So appreciate Matt. Appreciate each and every one of you. Hope you enjoyed that. And I will see y'all next week with an all-new low budget live, not so live or live. I haven't decided yet. I kind of like them live shows, man. They're a good time. Y'all let me know in the comments. Go check out Southern Boating Supply on social media. I'm going to keep saying it because it is my baby. Love it. Having fun each and every day doing it. That is for damn sure. I will see y'all next week. Take you out with some Biloxi Blues. See ya. Helps if I hit the volume button. Now, see ya.
Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.